It's time for us to begin this evening. It's good to have this number out with us. Before we begin our class, Elijah, would you mind leading us in prayer, please?
Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day that you blessed us with and for allowing us to come, be able to come together to learn more about your word. Lord, we ask that you be with us as we go through this class. Please be with Brother Michael as he's presenting this lesson to us. Please help us
to be able to be attentive, to learn more about your word tonight, that we might be able to apply to our lives and improve it every day. In your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, so Sunday we talked about several things as Jesus was beginning his ministry there in Galilee. We saw him call Andrew and Peter and James and John. And what was he going to do with them? What helped them to be able to leave their given profession at that point in time? Yeah, he was going to make them fishers of men. As Jesus was teaching, and when he finished, he asked Peter to launch out further into the deep and put down his nets. And of course, we recall the story that the catch was so large that it was breaking their nets, and that they had to call, Peter had to call his partners to come help, and they brought in so much fish that they just about sank both of the boats that came to help. And with that, Jesus told all four of them that to follow him, and he would make them fishers of men. And we see that really through the rest of their lives, especially as Peter, James, and John really become the close knit group with Christ. Really, the apostles were his inner circle, but you have a closer relationship there with those three men, as well as we'll see as we go through the study. He begins continues his ministry throughout Galilee, and he moves up to Capernaum as he's preaching there in the synagogue. A man is in there with a demon, and he casts them out, and this is kind of where we left off. What was that crowd's reaction to Christ casting that demon out? Yeah, they were amazed, and I think an important thing to note is they recognized authority. Now, had they been around authority, quote unquote, before? And, right, that would have been with the scribes. But this was something different. They truly recognized authority. Excuse me. And then this report started and went throughout all the region of Galilee. And this is where we left off Sunday. So Jesus finishes his teaching that he's doing there in the synagogue, and they go next door to whose house? Yeah, the Peter and Andrew's house. And they walk in, and they see that or Simon's mother-in-law is sick with a fever. And this is, there's not a lot that we read about this other than Jesus rebuked the fever and it left her. But the amazing part, to know that it wasn't just she was getting over it, she got up and served them right then and there. So, yeah, full strength. I mean, because, you know, I know a lot of us have been sick here lately. When you've gotten over that fever, have you felt like getting up and going around and serving people and doing that kind of stuff? No. You're still trying to recuperate. That's not what we see here with Peter's mother-in-law. She's up and she's moving around. She's serving them. like she hasn't been sick at all. I mean, so she's fully recovered right then and there at the word of Jesus just rebuking that fever. So for this being a time when there's not telephone or the means of communications that we have today, it didn't take long for everything to spread throughout that area. And we see as we're in Luke 4, what happened at sunset, or why did the people wait till sunset before they brought those that were sick or demon-possessed to him? Right, it was in the Sabbath. Jesus had been teaching in the synagogue on the Sabbath, and when he's finished, they went to Peter's house, and now it's sundown, and we see all these people starting to come to him, bringing the sick, those that are possessed. And what does it say he did? Did he just... what does it say that he did? That's right. He laid hands on every one of them and healed them. Yeah. Now, what's interesting about this with the demon possessed, what did the demons cry out? That's right. You're the Christ, the Son of God. Again, we said this Sunday, this definitely brings to mind what James said. The demons know Christ in fear, but yet they're still contrary to him and not obeying his will. We see Jesus rebukes these demons and does not allow them, and didn't allow them to speak any. Why do you think that is?
Jesus doesn't need the testimony of the demons, but he showed his power. He doesn't need their promotion.
Yeah, that's right. Because that's something that can be used by other enemies to say, well, you know, he's one of them. And we'll see that later on as the Pharisees and the Sadducees try to tell him that he's of them. So he doesn't need their help in proclaiming that. Him casting them out is proof that he is the Son of God. Because there's not too many people on earth that can do that. No, they don't, and we'll see as we go along that's just used by those in power as something. They got to have something, and that's all that they can do. All right, Well, let's if you're in Luke 4, let's begin here, and we're going to read several of these. We'll read all these verses that go along with this next section. Jason, will you read verses 42 through 44 here in Luke 4, please?
Now, when it was day, he departed and went into a deserted place, and the crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving him. But he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. And he was preaching in the synagogues of God.
All right. Let's turn over to Matthew 4. Amanda, will you read verses 23 through 25, please?
And
All right. Beth, will you read Mark 1, verses 35 through 39, please?
Now the morning has happened this day long, before daylight. He went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed.
All right, this is, as all three of these Gospels talk about the same event, you pick up things from each different one, from each of the different perspectives that we've talked about. Both Matthew and Luke record something interesting that we'll see in Jesus a lot, and that's how he kind of winds down, so to speak. And how is that? What does he do? Yeah, that's right. He goes to a deserted place. He apparently didn't tell anybody he was going. He just went. And he goes to find that solitude and prays to the Father. What do you think he's praying for? What do you think he might be asking of God? Yeah, I can go along with that. I think that's right. Anybody else? Want to take a stab at the possibilities? You know, I think what goes along with that, you know, keeping that humility, that service, that obedience to God, praying for that continued strength. I mean, because he is a man. Luke's going to point out, throughout a lot of his gospel that this was a man. This was a human being. He's like us. He's been tested in all shapes, in all fashions as we are. And he still feels the pain. We see him being compassionate. We'll see that throughout the rest of the Gospels as well. His compassion, his emotions. The shortest verse that we have is Jesus wept. We'll see those emotions. We see he is human, and you know, like us, you know, he has to work at that obedience as well. So I would imagine too that he's praying for the Father to help him with that, to continue him focused on his mission as he has been. I think that all is part of it.
He tells us eventually in the sermons, he tells us to love one another. Noted several times that he saw them as sheep without a shepherd and lived longing for something that they didn't even know what to ask for exactly. But Jesus was very appealing for lots of different reasons. But there's at least some of the sort of prayers on a regular basis for parts of those who were hearing what he was teaching to not be offended in it and not be turned off by who he was as they thought of him as a family member of a family in Nazareth, but as you could see the teaching. Turn their hearts as the teaching was intended to do. So I think pray for the people who are
Yeah, and we see that in John's epistle there at the end, as he's praying for unity for all the brethren. He's praying for those that have followed him, that are following him and will continue. You know, he's always thinking about others and wanting the best for them. But we'll get to it when he's looking down onto the temple and he says, "Oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if I could just herd you under my wings like a chicken, mother chicken does with her younglings." You know, he shows that, and we see that now as he's healed everyone that came to him all through the night, probably. And here it says before daylight, so dark 30 in the morning. I don't know how much sleep he would have gotten, but he's gone out to a deserted place. He's gone to commune with the Father, to pray to the Father. Something, an example for us. You know, when we get through those times in our lives, that, you know, we need to make sure that we're going to the Father on a regular basis, asking for that same focus on our mission. That's to be pleasing to Him. I'll open it up and let somebody else go first.
Well, I agree with that, that he had a human experience. The human experience would be to pray and look for the answers the way God gives it to us. So I agree with that.
Yeah.
I don't think it was an open conversation different than the way we would. That would be extremely encouraging sometimes to feel like we got an incorrect answer. And Jesus had to live his life the same way. Couple of
rare occasions, the Lord spoke out to confirm. That
seems almost more for everybody else. He didn't tell Jesus anything he didn't already know. But as he's dealing with these things, he prayed like you.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
In every way, like we are, I think that would include the resources that he had at his disposal to overcome the temptation. And if that, I won't say that would be an unfair advantage, that would be the right way to put it, but that would be
and it could be an accusation that could be used by the... Yeah, and, you know, that would just... What I was going to say, too, is that would just be kind of an accusation that the devil... Well, you were helping him. You were talking to him directly. So you gave him every advantage above everyone else.
So let's put with that then. When Jesus did receive encouragement directly from the angels and ministered to him after he was tempted there in the wilderness and then later on to his suffering, we should recognize that was not a unique experience either. And we may not feel like we can see them, but we need to trust that God is offering himself. He is with us.
Yeah.
Part of it is through his workers, his messengers, and part of it he said he would be with us. Jesus promised that himself.
Yep.
So we need to recognize that's still true, even if we can't see it with our senses.
Yeah, that's right. And it could be in shape of anything, you know, from angels helping us that we can't see, to our brethren reaching out to us. Something could have been put in their heart, put out their hand to help you up. You know, all that's in that realm.
So with all that being said, I just think it's very
so many ways he relates to mankind, and so that should be encouraging to us that the Son of God is leveling himself to an extent with mankind like that.
And with that, and we'll move on after this, I would say too, it also shows the compassion of God the Father to allow his Son to do that. It shows his compassion for us, the creature that he created. So, all those good thoughts. All right, so as Jesus is away, we see Peter being Peter, so to speak, as we'll see as we go through the rest of the study. He and others begin searching for him, and I get the sense that they're almost like frantically searching for him. They're worried that he's left them for some reason, and when they find him, they want him to stay. But what is his response to this crowd that was wanting him to stay there? Yep, that's right. I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. Yeah, that's right. So we see him going about all Galilee. We had a map up here Sunday just showing that area. He went about all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom. He healed all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. How far did his fame spread?
All along the Jewish areas, and then I know that one passage through Syria, so all the way up the coast.
Yeah, that's right. Because remember where this is. This is in that northern part of Israel. Doesn't reach all the way to the coast because Syria has that, Phoenicia and all those places. But it reaches all the way over into Syria.
It says that those that came out traveled around with him were from Jewish areas, but the fame came from Syria.
Yeah, that's right. And again, this is spreading without the internet. It's spreading without cell phones. This is going by word of mouth, but it's catching on like wildfire. It really is, and it is spreading quickly. We see that many are brought, they're suffering from diseases and torments. They're demons possessed. They're epileptics and paralytics. And what does it say he does? He healed them. That's right. Where all did these multitudes come from that began following? That's right. So that's getting to be a big crowd, and some of them are coming from far from home. They're a good ways away from their homes, with him still being up in the Galilee area. All right. If you're still in Mark, let's see, Rex, will you read Mark 1, 40 through 45, please?
Sure. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, Seest thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in the desert places, and they came to him from every quarter.
All right. So what is leprosy? Yeah, that's right. The book has it as a slowly progressing and intractable disease characterized by subcutaneous nodules, scabs, or I'm holding on. If y'all notice, my knuckles are turning a little white. So, and while shining spots appearing to be deeper than the skin, so I think easier thing is. The flesh is dying while the body's still alive.
It's highly contagious. Get people from being able to be with each other.
Yeah, we'll talk about that a little more here in just a second. How is the curing of leprosy differently stated than the other diseases? Well, that's what they're supposed to do. But when you talk about curing somebody, there you go. Whoever said that, yeah, that's right. A person is cleansed from the leprosy, whereas others are healed. I just the use of that terminology just kind of strikes me a little bit when we talk about leprosy. What did the law say about leprosy? Right, and who made that determination? Yeah, that's right, the priest. The person had to dwell outside, alone and outside the camp. Who do we see this happening to back during the Exodus? Miriam, that's right. So contagious and easy to catch that clothing was to be burned that had leprosy on it. I mean, there's a lot that had to go. I mean, there was homes were taken down if it had leprosy, burned. I mean, that was really the only way to make sure it was gone was to burn all those articles. So as we begin here in Mark, and Matthew and Luke record this as well, you have a man full of leprosy comes into one of the cities imploring Jesus for cleansing. So what's kind of the first problem here, so to speak? So what is that showing us about this man to start with? Yeah, that's right. Because and how do we see that? What does he say to him? If you're willing, you can make me clean. This is one of those sections we talked about before, where we see kind of the emotional side, so to speak, of Jesus as well. He was moved with compassion. I think it's... how does he respond back? Yeah, I'm willing to be cleansed. Yeah, he stretched out his hand and touched him, and the leper was cleansed. The book brings out the fact that Jesus did not intentionally break the law, but Jesus was not going to catch, but heal the man, who wasn't going to catch his disease, but heal the man by the word that he spoke. I think that was an interesting thought that our author brings out as well. All right, so do what? Yeah, that's right. All right, so he strictly warns the man to do several things, and what are those things? Go see the priest, but what does he say before that? That's right. Say nothing to anyone about this. Show yourself to the priest, and then what else? Yep, offer those things commanded by Moses for the cleansing. Why command him not to say anything to anybody? Yeah, that's right. We'll see that, especially as the word spreads. But why else? Why else do you think he didn't want him doing what he wound up doing anyway? Yeah, but think about in the grand scheme. What is it going to do for him? Yeah. Well, think about it, too, from this standpoint. What is it going to do, or what are the people's what happened with the people's expectation as this begins to spread, that he can even say, be cleansed, and he's cleansed and touched him at that point in time. What is that going to do for the expectations of the people? They're going to seek him, but they're all... It gets down to the ultimate thing of what these people are looking for in the Messiah.
Yeah, that's why this is one of the questions that you're asking right now. And I was thinking about that importance of that question, because this man is only going to go out and tell that he got to be cleansed from leprosy. He's not going to share the specific truth of the gospel that he did. He talked about how he was healed from his leprosy and cleansed from those things. He's no longer unclean. When Jesus talked to the woman at the well, she went back with a message to them, come and see this man who told me everything I ever did in my life. And they come out to hear him. But to the message of this, the demons, you know, he tells them, don't go out and say anything about this, be quiet about this, because it's just going to draw the crowd for the wrong reason. Jesus did this for this man to help his faith and those that around him saw what was going on. But Jesus needs to be famous, if you will, for what he's teaching.
That's right, and I think chief among those is the expectation, raising the expectations that it's going to be an earthly kingdom, unlike what they had with David and with Solomon, and what we've talked about, just looking at this earthly phase as opposed to the spiritual side of it.
Well, later on, he feeds them and he tells them, "You're coming for the food, and if you're coming just to be healed. You're not thinking about why this power is with me, that you ought to be hearing what I'm saying."
Yeah.
But these people are leaving, they're not teaching that. Jesus is teaching that. Hear me. You know, I go in and I start healing with the people and I'm talking to them. And that's not what these people are taking the message away.
That's right. Randy?
That's
talking about immediately. So maybe that's really the conflict here, what we have to say. Not that he shouldn't ever tell anybody what Jesus did for him, but first things first, go follow the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So the crowd was so large to come to hear and be healed that Jesus couldn't openly enter in the city, and he had to stay outside in deserted places. But the crowds continued to come to him. All right, so we've got just a couple of minutes. Let's turn to our questions on page 37. Explain how Peter, Andrew, James, and John would go from being fishermen to fishers of men.
They left their physical work to start their spiritual work, teaching, preaching, gathering men to Christ.
Yep, that's right. All right, explain the circumstances that caused Peter to say to Jesus, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." Yeah, and if you remember the first time he was introduced to Jesus by Andrew, that made an impression on him real quick as well. That first interaction we read about in John. All right, how is the teaching of Jesus different from the teaching of the scribes? Yeah, he taught as someone having authority. All right, explain the process Jesus used to rid the man of demons that had taken up residence in his body.
I wasn't sure how much we wanted there. I said, you commanded him to be silent.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much to it. That's all it was. All right, we won't turn this to this, but I hope you have. Read Isaiah 53, verse 4, and explain how Jesus fulfilled this prophecy with his ministry in Capernaum.
That's not what I thought Isaiah 54 was about.
Me either. I'm curious about it. The only thing I come to is he bore their grief. That's one. That's really about the only part of that passage I could see really applying to this ministry here. All right, as Jesus went about healing the multitudes, why did he request that those healed not tell others about the healing? I think we've had a pretty good discussion about that already. What was required on the part of those healed by Jesus? What conditions did they have to meet to make the healing successful? How does this compare with faith healings today? I said faith, not fake, okay?
Did you see Jesus requiring them to make some kind of speech about something or prove their faith? It was instantaneous, it was observable.
Yeah, that's right. Didn't require a big donation on anybody's part to do it. They didn't pass around the fellowship plate to do any of that.
When the guys do it today, when they require that somebody have faith already before they say, they're clearly not doing any of this power, they're not healing any of it, but they're clearly implying that they're channeling it somewhere else if they can do that. Otherwise, it doesn't work because faith they can't overcome it. Jesus didn't require anything of anybody. The power was within him. And he showed their true power of God. Yes, it comes from God, not from somebody else.
All right. We'll Rex, you next up.